All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Wash up, and welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host, Nah Fuck That, with your low, Glasses Malone.
How are you feeling about this modern battle, this diss record battle that's going on right now, still?
I think it's good for hip-hop.
Why is it good for hip-hop? That's such a generic thing to say.
Well, it is generic, but it's the whole premise, man. You know, hip-hop is braggadocious at its core. You know, you got guys that brag about their jury, how many women they knocking down, how much dough they got. You know, it's telling a story, right? And hip-hop, you know, as far back as I can remember, when LL came out, he had a record called I'm Bad. Yeah. No rapper can rap quite like I can. I take a muscle bomb man and put his face in the sand.
Yeah.
I know it's competition.
I guess that is like a extension of poverty. It's an extension of poverty for sure. To overcompensate for the lack thereof. I mean, as far as poor people bragging about exactly what they have. So I guess I can somewhat deal with that. Where I'm at right now, I'm just hella disinterested. Like, Pete, where you at with it?
I'm so prejudicially biased against it that I've gone out of my way to avoid having to be exposed to it. But my opinion on it is, I think for the sake of the genre, it's probably a good thing that you could have an old school style like hip hop beef that was lyrically based and not necessarily like this foggy, opaque, are we really rapping or am I making coded threats against your life type, you know, street beef type of shit that kind of dominated the space for a couple decades there. It feels like a throwback to the early 80s or something like that.
Well, I think the early 80s was about kicking your ass too. But I definitely agree that in today's time, I don't think nobody's going to even pinch each other. So I do think this is one of the rare times because even as a little kid and I go back and I listen to, you know, Shan and Chris battling, I didn't know if I never got the feeling that if they came across each other, they wouldn't fight. I even thought KRS-One and Shan would even fight, especially after the bridge is over. Like, I just knew that they would fucking fight. Like, I would believe they'd fight. And I felt that way about every big battle until then, you know, whether it's moving forward, you know, NWA versus, let's say, you know, Ice Cube. I thought they would fight. And if I remember correctly, still they did fight, right? Ruthless and NWA and Cube. Did the Lynch Mob and NWA and Ruthless ever get into it? They did, right?
You know, they didn't get into it personally. Above the Law caught Cube and them at the New Music Seminar.
Yeah, so Ruthless versus Lynch Mob.
You know, and the shit talking led to a little fight. From what the homie Gomac tells me, they caught Cube slipping, but it didn't get as bad as people thought it was.
And then
you know, a few people got in the mouth, but that was the extent of it.
And then the NWA, then the Ruthless versus Death Row, right? Over Dre Day and Real Motherfucking G's, right? Where, you know, they ran into each other at the golf course, right? And then it was the Dog Pound versus, you know, Drayster and the Ruthless cat.
Yeah, when Nate Dogg wore them dudes out with the 9-iron.
Yeah, Nate hit Drayster upside the head with a golf club.
Mm-hmm. A 9-iron to be exact, the heaviest one.
So,
epically funny.
And yeah, it is funny, man. You know, gee, one thing I will say at that time, like you go back to the KRS-One and MC Shan stuff, I never thought for one single moment nobody was going to get into a fight.
You never thought they would, or you thought they would get into a fight if they saw each other?
I thought they would, man. You know what? The most you can expect back then was for somebody to possibly get punched in the mouth or something.
That's a fight.
But it wasn't going to never be no gunplay. It wasn't going to never be nothing like that because that fell outside the essence of hip-hop. You feel what I'm saying?
No, I don't agree with that. I hate when y'all say that.
In the beginning, though, they would, like, battle rap, like, face-to-face live and shit like that, you know?
That's what I'm saying, bro. It never got personal like that.
I totally disagree. That's not what they said, but I understand the narrative that all the early hip-hoppers want to push, so I'm not going to get in the way of that, but that's not true.
Well, you know, I've actually talked to people that was actually there during those times, like when LL had his battles. Now, when Ice-T and LL had their thing, Ice-T had numerous opportunities to where if he wanted to get LL's head knocked off, he could, because there would be somebody calling him all the time, hey, I got him in my sights right now. What you want me to do? Ice didn't want nothing like that to happen. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, so, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with Ice-T and L, but Shan and Chris, that was a little bit more serious.
You know what, bro?
At least from their perspective.
Yeah, I don't think it would lead to the point of nobody getting hurt. Like, it wasn't going to be on no Biggie and Tupac stuff.
But Biggie and Tupac, nobody got hurt because of Biggie and Tupac. Like, that wasn't about rap beef. Pac didn't die over rap beef. Biggie didn't die over rap beef. You know, they had separate situations happening that led to their death. It wasn't about, because they really didn't have a real beef, right? They didn't have a real beef.
Like, well, to an extent, dog, it did. Everything kind of was a derivative of them dudes beefing. You think about it, you know, from Puff offering people money.
But that's not really true.
Oh, so Puff didn't offer nobody no money?
No.
Yeah, he did, bro.
No.
What's his name? Keith, he told me that out of his mouth.
He's lying.
So you think Keefe D gonna make something that elaborate up to say that this man was gonna put $1 million on his head? You think he lying?
Yes.
Was going to and did are different.
And it's just a lie.
I just think with these records, man, I think it comes to a point. You know, recently on our show, there's a piece going around right now where 8 said at some point, you might as well just fight. I think when you get too personal on records, man, it can lead to somebody, you know, I think it can lead to some shit possibly.
No Ceilings, GL, Pete, Doing What We Do, Big Brother Steel, Gangster Rap Chronicles. It's a difference between diss records and battling. You know what I mean? Like a battle is different and a battle can lead to a fight. But diss records are meant to be totally disrespectful. A battle in its essence is more about saying you're superior to someone like as an MC. A diss record is intended to be disrespectful to somebody else. Now, battle rap has kind of fell into that space of disrespectful talk. But that wasn't the essence of battling, right, when they started, right? It was all about raising yourself up versus a diss record is all about putting somebody else down. But back to the Biggie and Tupac, Pac didn't have a real problem with Biggie. Like, he said this on multiple interviews. Like, he never really had an issue with Biggie. He has said in the interview with Vibe that if he thought Biggie had something to do with him being shot, it had been a different kind of problem. They didn't really have a real issue. Like, Pac, I've stood by this because the more I get into hip hop and I understand the business, Pac understood the market viability of what diss records do, like what the competition does, right? If Puff and Big is really top tier in the space with Snoop Dogg and Dre, you grab that energy, right? And you use that energy to launch you into another, you know, hemisphere. And he did that. But he said in different interviews that there was no real issue between him and Biggie or him and Puff. They didn't have a problem. He just used the situation and motivated himself to go to that level.
Well, you know what Pac initially tried to say? He tried to say that Big and Bad Boy had something to do with him getting shot in Quad Studios, and everybody knew that wasn't true. You know, Pac owes people some money.
But Pac never said that. He never said that. That was kind of what, okay, so if he does have any responsibility, that's the insinuation of actions. But he never in his life said he thought Puff or Big has something to do with him getting shot. Now, if whoever listened to No Ceilings, if I'm wrong, show me the fucking interview where he said, y'all niggas have something to do with me being shot. He just always referenced his issue and the competitive nature with Big and Puff with the fact he got shot in New York. So then people put two and two together and say, oh, this must be why he's upset. But really, if you listen to him interviews, he's talking about how Biggie took off and he felt like they forgot about him. You know what I mean? And nobody really was showing him love. And he just went through this traumatic experience, you know, of shooting himself in a really bad situation. You know what I'm saying? So he felt embarrassed. And then Puff used his circumstances to market himself. You know what I mean? Puff used his, you know, Pac situation of being shot and marketed, you know, using, you know, the Who Shot You song with Biggie to where it could be confusing. And I think Pac saw that, you know, if you look at his book list, I think Pac saw that shit and said, oh, that's what we're doing. We're using tragedy to market ourselves into, you know, success. Got you. So when he came home, he used everything to market himself into the number one spot.
Yeah. I definitely think Tupac has alluded that they had something to do with that, or they knew that it was going to happen.
When did he say that they had something to do with it?
I think that's disingenuous. I mean, the reality is that was what was swirling around. He had a million opportunities to invalidate that, and he went deliberately out of his way to avoid doing so.
And I've just found a source. The incident at Quad Studios was more than just a robbery gone wrong for Tupac Shakur. It was a betrayal. Biggie and Tupac had once been close friends. Their bond rooted in their shared passion for hip-hop. Both artists hailed from backgrounds rife with struggle and hardship, which they funneled into their music, earning acclaim from fans and critics alike. However, after the Quad Studios incident, their friendship quickly soured. Shakur openly accused Biggie, his label Bad Boy Records, and Sean Puffy Combs of having prior knowledge of the shooting, an accusation they vehemently denied. So he
you're just reading somebody's thoughts on it. Like, you know, there was
this was an investigation, bro. And this is what Tupac said. He said this openly, bro. He believed that they had knowledge of it. Not that they necessarily set it up, but he think they knew that it was going to happen.
You changed two parts. Again, this is two different things. Him saying they had something to do with it, and him then now you're saying that, oh, well, they knew it was going to happen.
Well, see, I don't think they necessarily...
it's way past. It's not necessarily they didn't have anything to do with it.
They didn't have nothing to do with it, but he believed they had knowledge that it was going to happen.
It's the culpability of inaction on both sides. He believes that they, by not acting or making mention of the fact that they had this knowledge, are in a way indirectly culpable.
And I could see that. See, let's say me and you go to Miami, right? We go down there to Miami, and me and you somewhere, we handling our business or whatever, and someone comes out the woodwork and pull a pistol on you for making a song or whatever. They mad at you, whatever. We are going to think in our minds, man, these dudes knew that was going to happen. How did they know we was going to be here?
No, I would not think that. First off, this is a different
situation. I would get all the blame.
You know, this is a different situation, right? Like, if I did something to somebody in Miami, I have a really good chance that if I go to Miami, that the person I did something to is going to be there waiting on me.
Miami is a big city. They would have to have prior knowledge that she was coming down there for something. And the note and the pinpoint, your exact location. Come on, bro.
That's a hella square take. And I get what you're saying, but no. I would automatically think that this person would know I'm going to be around. There's nothing nobody can tell me that's going to say, well, they had to do this. I would think that it's so many people around the circle that somebody that knows me is going to tell them, hey, glasses is around. But again, like I'm saying, like, I'm not sure if Pac said, hey, they knew I was going to be here, so they helped, blah, blah, blah. Now, if he's saying that, oh, they knew it was going to happen, they had to know it was going to happen. Like, how can they know a robbery is going to happen unless you have more details about why somebody would be trying to rob you? Why would somebody have details about somebody robbing you?
Well, you know, it could have been inadvertent, too. I don't think they did it on purpose, necessarily. It could be a matter of just somebody talking, oh, the homie Chi coming down, oh, the homie Pac will be over here tonight. We're going to be over here doing this, and that's all it takes. Then somebody else go tell this person. But the thing is, I got smoked because he owed Jimmy Henchman a few dollars. And really, it was supposed to be a warning. The only reason he wound up getting shot was him trying to resist and reach for heat and all that other stuff. You know, I think they just meant to scare the dude.
But at that point, then, if that's the case, then he would owe them money. So then him going to New York would be him risking knowing that, hey, I have some unsavory business going with somebody. And there's a possibility that they can catch me. So how the fuck would that have something to do with anybody else that don't owe cuz no money?
Well, then that's when you get the marketing, right? Pac, like you said, he was a marketing genius, and he understood that, you know what, if I create this illusion that we got beef and they set me up and I got shot and I survived, you already said that was a big part of his whole spiel, dog. Yes, the fact that he did get shot multiple times and survived, and now I'm coming back to wreak my vengeance, you know? So that was that, man. Pac was people forget, man, Pac was an actor, dog. He was a real actor. He was a great actor.
I think also you kind of answer your own question, like, along the way. If you know you got a situation with somebody, you come into their town, you're not going to call them in advance and say, hey, I'm coming to your town.
I'm not going to go to their town.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She had no business out there, just like Biggie had no business in L.A. Biggie should have been. This is the last place he should have been.
Well, I don't even.
But he was there.
I don't agree with that. He had nothing to do with the nigga getting shot.
He didn't, bro. But just the circumstances, bro, he shouldn't have got shot. He should still be here walking around. There's no way his mama should be grieving him.
Agreed. But then again, like, I always felt like Big was like an innocent casualty in that situation. But then again, when the Dog Pound dudes went to New York and they were shooting their video, and then their video shoot got set, you know, their video shoot got shot up based off of some things that Biggie said on the radio, allegedly. You know what I mean? He wasn't as innocent as I would like him to be.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
But Pete, to your point, it's like, it's a little bit more trickier, right? It's like, I don't think Pac thought Big and Puff had nothing to do with him getting shot, nor did they know, nor did they have any stake, or he thought that. Maybe when you get shot, there is a traumatic response, you know what I'm saying, that makes you paranoid, right? So there's the initial thing where it's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm going through a lot of shit. I'm in pain. I'm in a hospital, blah, blah, blah. Now, there could be a paranoia that sets in on the mind, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I would imagine he was extremely paranoid.
Like, hypothetically, if you know, all right, I'm going to go do this track with these guys out in L.A. I got that situation. I'm going to slide in real quick, knock it out. I'm going to slide out. And no one really knows when, where, or any of these variables that matter to execute something like that. And then it happens. You go, shit, only three people even knew I was out here.
Like, but that, I wouldn't believe that as Tupac Shakur in 1994. Like, I'm Tupac Shakur. I'm in the biggest movie as far as urban as far as urban culture in the last 5 years at that point. I'm in Juice. Everybody sees me. Like, I don't care what I do. Everybody's going to see me. The security guard who actually is supposed to actually be the one that contacted and helped to facilitate whatever happened, because that was the person. But I'm also Tupac Shakur. Like, there's no way possible, Pete, as a street guy, if I got into it with T.I., right? Let's say I have an issue with T.I., right? And you know what I mean? I took something from T.I., or like Still is saying, right? I took some money from T.I., and now T.I. is looking for me because I don't want to give him this money, so I know we have a problem. I'm not flying into Atlanta without knowing something is going to happen to me. It was a beef and a dish record situation between X-Tentacion from Miami and a kid named Rob Stone from San Diego, right? And they had some records back and forth. X, rest in peace, went to San Diego to do a concert. And then when he's on stage doing a concert, somebody comes from the back and just knocks him out on the stage. Rest in peace to the man, but he got knocked out on the stage. And I remember seeing that shit like on Twitter and saying, like, why the fuck would you go to San Diego after you just had this back and forth with records with this person? Where you're saying flagrant shit. You're saying fucked up shit. You popping it.
I get that. But he did.
Yeah, he did. And I think when you're in a situation like that, you have to expect some kind of, you got to expect something. If you go be that flagrant man and go to a man's city after you don't talk cash shit, you kind of deserve whatever happened to you. You kind of, you know what I'm saying? I think you're inviting trouble.
Or at least you know something can happen. I would hope believe something can happen.
You better be conscious of it. And one thing I want to go back to, and this is not no knock at all, is that Biggie wasn't no street dude. I think everybody knew that Biggie was just a phenomenal rapper. You know, talking to homie Doggy Diamonds, because Doggy Diamonds knew him personally.
No, I don't believe. I don't believe you are Doggy. I believe Biggie was a street dude.
So you think Biggie was? So you think Doggy? Gee, why do you think everybody lying when they say something?
Because niggas be lying.
That wasn't no diss. I don't think Dog would lie about that.
I think he's lying. I think he's...
He didn't do a lot of the shit he said on records.
That's some of the context, though.
That's far away from saying he's not a street dude. You said he's not a street dude. I don't believe that.
People around him were street cats.
I don't believe that. No, I think you and Doggy is full of shit.
Well, I didn't say nothing. I'm telling you what the homeboy said. And I think that Biggie was a dude that sat up in his room and wrote raps all day.
I don't believe that either.
I believe it, dog. I don't think Doggy would have no, I don't see no reason for him to lie. And it's not like he's put that out there publicly to try to get some hype off over the something. He just said that Chris was just a cool dude.
You and Doggy are my guys. Both of you niggas is full of shit right now.
Why am I full of shit? Because I'm reiterating something that the homeboy said.
And then you doubled down and said you believed it.
I think you just want to believe your heroes are who they say they are.
I don't think.
About people, you tell me I'm lying about it until it actually comes up.
It has never came up.
It is. I told you half of these dudes are fruit cups and you didn't want to believe
them. I asked you to show me which one you saw sucking the dick.
So question, is the story that Diddy or whatever, when he was like trying to sign him or had just signed him or whatever, they were just getting some traction that he was trying to get him to cancel some trip out of town to buy a bunch of wholesale, that was BS?
Well, Biggie might have been moving some work. Just because you move a little bit of work don't mean you just no hardcore street dude.
What's the spectrum on street dude?
Of course it does.
He ain't got a stack of bodies behind him, but he on the corner selling dope. He not a street dude. Like,
what
there,
are you
there's
talking
some
about? Yeah, that's crazy.
Spectrum in, to that term.
I'm telling y'all, I'm reiterating, I didn't know Biggie, so I don't know what he was.
So pipe down and let us have this conversation without you having that bullshit you were saying.
And I say that because it goes in the context of what we're talking about. It's highly probable Big wasn't even thinking about setting that dude up or wouldn't have been capable of it.
That does not say any of that. First off, those two things have nothing to do with each other. Obviously, Biggie was some kind of street guy. Was he fucking Freeway Rick? Probably not. But that don't mean he's not a street dude. He's not. He's sitting in his room writing raps. That shit, that's a fucking lie.
There's a spectrum between like Glasses Malone and Drake, you know what I mean? Or Glasses Malone and even Kendrick for that matter.
It's a huge spectrum.
And Drake might be a street dude for all we know.
I think that's the ship has sailed.
So Biggie is not a street dude and Drake is a street fucking...
No, the jury's out on Drake.
You know, I'm just fucking with you now, bro. I'm just fucking. Fuck. You know, Drake might be the
you
man.
You didn't say which street.
Him and the Isle up there posted up, dog.
Do you understand street means where crime is happening? That's what street means. Yeah.
You know what, G?
There's illegal parking in Toronto.
And y'all tell me if y'all disagree. I think anybody that grew up in the communities that we all prospectively come from, I think you have to be a street dude to a certain degree in order to survive.
Well, it's a street dude just means you're of place where crime is happening, right? So, like, where crime is happening. Not like bad parking, Pete, but like crime. Like, get ahead.
Canada joke.
Right? Sure, sure.
Because me personally, I'm far from a street dude right now. I'm square as a box of cereal, but there was a time that I sold dope, shot people, beat people up, did all kind of shit.
We don't believe that.
But neither. I'm a whole different person.
You for sure would have been in your room writing raps.
No, I did. Gee, you've heard confirmation on the shit I'm telling you.
I have not heard any confirmation.
Well, I can put somebody on right
so there. Biggie, find me that shit? So, no. So Biggie is sitting in his room writing. So Biggie is sitting in his room writing raps and you out here selling the rocks and shooting people and going to jail.
That's what it was for a time.
So you the real Biggie.
No, I didn't say that. See, you twisting up something I've said. I was making the thing right now. I'm square as a box of cereal. Now, I don't want no problems with nobody, but there was a time in my ignorance that I sold dope, shot folks, and did all kind of stupid shit. It's
well
not
beyond the statute of limitations.
Yeah, but I ain't never say I killed nobody. I ain't never go that far with shit. But I did a lot of dumb shit in my younger days.
You shot niggas, how you know they didn't die?
Because I know they didn't.
You can't hit shit.
There's a difference between popping at some niggas. I ain't sitting up here saying I was walking up on niggas at point blank and just hit them in the head and shit.
Well, you know, the bullets can go to the head. How you know they didn't die?
I know they didn't die. Some of them niggas still around here today walking.
You don't know every nigga you shot.
Hmm?
So you wasn't walking up, but you said some of these niggas today are still the rock around here walking.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm not even saying that this happened multiple times. I wasn't running around on the
You said you shot niggas, plural.
Oh, yeah. It don't been a couple niggas. Don't got it. There could be some niggas that can get it now. So
so you're not square.
Man, I'm square as I have to be, dog.
So let me get this right. So Biggie
is
not
extremely square.
Yes. So
no, I'm reiterating something else to you. I'm retelling a story that someone told me. I didn't know Biggie. I don't know what he was doing and what he wasn't doing.
I'm saying, so based off of your belief that of what your friend
told me, and I don't believe that person would have a reason to lie.
So based off your beliefs, Biggie was
based off his belief of me telling him, like, well, as far as I know,
you believe in Dog.
Yeah, I don't think Dog ain't never really lied to me about
nothing. So based off your beliefs, because you believe in Dog, in Doggy Diamonds, Biggie was up in this room writing raps, and you was on the corner selling rocks, shooting people.
Well, I can tell you what fact was. Yeah, I was. And I can get multiple people to verify that on here, because you don't heard it before.
I've never heard it in my life. But
Hold on one second.
No. That's not what this is. It's not about validating still. We'll do that on another show.
Hold on. I'm about to show you.
Hold up. I don't care who
we were
you
at
call.
The 100th episode.
Yeah.
We've seen so the old timers.
So what I'm saying to you is, you're the real Biggie.
I didn't say nothing. Why do I? Hell no, I'm not no Biggie. Biggie is one of the greatest rappers of all time.
That's what Biggie rapped about. So you said you was doing the shit Biggie was rapping about. And Biggie was writing about.
I'm telling you something that Doggy said. How you go put that? How you just go point that to me?
You said you believe it.
Everybody here.
I have no choice but to believe it. I'm not you. I don't doubt everything my friends come and tell me.
Everybody here knows good and damn well that Biggie wrote all them songs about steel.
Exactly. What were we thinking?
No, you know what?
I mean, he's like Rick Ross, Big Steel, Notorious B.I.G. He named himself after you.
Big Steel.
I think Rick Ross. See,
Notorious B.I.G. Steel.
Yeah.
No. See, y'all just you trolling now, G.
How?
You just trolling out. Because you take something I said that I'm telling you, Doggy Diamond said, I'm going to say Norman Steele said this. I didn't know the man
personally. You said Norman Steele believed Doggy Diamonds.
I believe Doggy, because Doggy grew up with the nigga.
So we're saying the same thing.
Like Dog been out there making content off of this. This is something that he said to us. He's told you this before.
I told him I didn't believe him then.
Man, I wish Dog could get on his phone right now to debunk all this shit you're talking right now.
He's not.
Man, let's get back to the thing, man, because you will always take something and try to twist it.
How am I twisting anything?
So Biggie was rhyming about you.
You?
He didn't do none of that shit. I don't know what he did.
Let's move into the 12th. Let's just.
That's all I know.
We're going to pitch this camp into the 21st century.
All I'm saying is, back from the point of where we started at, right? When we're talking about diss records, right? I'm saying since the beginning of diss records, I've always thought it could get serious. Now, I agree there are certain battles I thought most likely it wouldn't get serious, right? And you're right. I've always felt Ice-T was a player about it, so maybe not. But then there was a time Ice-T probably didn't want something to happen to him. But I never thought Chris and Shan couldn't get serious. And then we moving forward. Obviously, it was a fist fight between NWA and Lynch Mob over No Vaseline, right? That's part of it. There was a fist fight over Dre Day with Dog Pound and the Ruthless Camp, right? Fast forward, every diss,
Was there a physical incident or anything like that with the Ice Cube Cypress Hill shit, or that just was all talk and kind of just drifted off?
Mac-10 told me it was like a big thing. Because Be Real is actually a real blood from Family Swans, and you know, it was a real thing. So I don't think it got into a physical thing, but it was kind of some real things. Did 8 ever said somebody fought over that shit with Quick still?
Hell yeah. He said it was a lot of shit that happened. He said it was a lot of shit that could have went bad.
Was there a fight?
Remember, that's a whole different dynamic right there. Because you had a dude who was a blood, then you had a dude who was a pyro, you had another dude that was a crip.
But I'm saying, did they fight?
No, they never. You know what's funny, man? They said during that whole thing, they never even saw each other.
Did any of their friends fight over it?
Yeah, it was a few squabbles over it.
So fast forward, JC and Nas, there wasn't really no squabbles over that, was it?
I don't believe so.
Was there with 50 and Ja Rule? Did anybody get touched on that?
Yeah, Ja Rule. Oh, yeah. 50 got stabbed.
Yeah, 50 got stabbed during that whole ordeal.
Yeah. 50 got stabbed.
And with the Rick 50 thing, Gunplay got jumped.
That did happen. Yeah.
I just think, man, you know what? It's possible for some shit to happen. I remember when Ross had they little Jeezy had they little tiff, and they was walking down the hallway together, and they sort of just tussled for whatever you want to call that, what it was they was doing. But they, you know, they smelled each other's cologne briefly in that hallway.
Did the setup with Gucci via Jeezy, that really is how that went down?
So I think people kind of assume that Jeezy sent dude over there, but I don't think that's been verified. Obviously, it'd probably be a criminal case if it was verified that Jeezy sent this man over here to lose his life. Now, there was supposed to be a word about money being, you know, presented for some jury or something like that. So it's not impossible. But I don't know. But it's really kind of fucking me up now that I'm thinking about Dish Records. And I'm like, this is the first time in my life where I thought I am sure nobody is going to get hurt. But I might be wrong. Why? Because even when J. Cole apologized, I was like, bro, nobody's going to do anything to J. Cole. It might be some crazy motherfuckers that might try to do some shit to J. Cole, bro.
I think that Drake is the type of guy who would not hesitate, if you got him with the right line on a diss track, to resort to biological warfare. And by biological warfare, I mean deploying a known infected slut in the direction of the original artist.
I said it on the show that dude is the devil, man. You see how he inserts. If you have.
Who is the devil?
Drake is the devil, dog.
What the
fuck? He would absolutely unleash herpes indirectly at that man.
Why the fuck is Drake the devil, bro?
No offense, Pete, but Drake is definitely a white man. He thinks like a white person. He's going to get you. He's going to try to hit you where it hurts, but have him removed far from it. Exactly. Like him with a certain top into the whole thing with him and Dot right now. When he was beefing with Meek Mill, I rode down the street bumping AR ad. You know what I'm saying? He's going to serve people. Like if he getting a beef with you, she, he liable to say he out here fucking with Joey and the Giants and some shit like that. Or me and Big Steel chilling. You feel what I'm saying? He's that type of dude.
He kind of almost operates sort of like Tupac, where he leaves a lot of gray area and untied, you know, ends, and like takes pictures with your wife and shit like that.
You know what I'm saying? He could have a picture from a long time ago to where him and Maria, he just took a picture and he go pointing to her. Oh, yeah. Like, you know what time it is.
You know what happened after that picture. And he doesn't say anything happened. He might mean, you know, we both went our separate ways and went to the house. But he will say.
He that dude. Now, gee, you know how he, and the way he's inserted niggas' personal shit into this shit. See, the one thing about it, bro, if you can get somebody, if you can cause dissension in somebody's personal life, that's like the ultimate shit. Or if you put something on somebody's mind and thinking, man, was my girl messing with this dude? Is my bro fucking with this guy?
And he's not just white, he's half Jewish. That means he's pulling court documents from civil suits up to and including paternity. And it gets very ugly in some of those papers.
See, I said, gee, that motherfucker is the devil. He is Satan.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Gee, let me ask you this. If this was you, if you somehow got inserted into this whole Drake versus the world thing, how would you react if he said something personal about you?
I can rap. I really can rap. I can rap as good as rap can. I'm getting pretty good, so it'd be pretty
interesting. And you have the troll factor. I think you would be able to say some shit just as hurtful.
Well, I'm also going to be looking to beat people up and out rap people. I'm going to start.
So after you wreck your rap, after you out-rap him, you might go put hands on him too?
And I'm going to be looking to put hands on his bodyguards and all the street dudes that's with him. I'm not going to just let it be him. Like, see, that's most people's problem. They be looking to get to Drake. I'm going to fire Chubb and them shit up. Like, nigga, as soon as you, nigga, we going to get out. Like, we going to pack your shit up. We going to start packing up the niggas that you paying that you think is something. You know what I mean? And I'm going to show you the difference when you fucking with a nigga that's like me, where it's like, yeah, we're going to fight the bodyguards. We're going to fuck them around. We're going to shoot. We're going to hurt them. We ain't even going to fuck with you at first. We're going to start breaking everything around you till you realize it's a big difference fucking with people like us. And I'm going to out-rap you. I'm going to rap with you. Even if you win, you're not going to win at the end. So it's just a different attitude. Like, I'm looking to really get at the niggas who you think is tough. That way I can show you all that shit ain't tough.
Well, you know what? Historically, the rappers never really get involved in the shit. It's always the bodyguards and the external people. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's because they're plotting on the rappers because they see weakness. I wouldn't plot on the rappers. I'd plot on your strength. See, it's one thing when you looking at the weakness, your whole thing is I know somebody's weakness. Imagine being strong enough to fuck over people's strength. That's always been my thing. Like, when I went to jail, I'm going to fight the toughest nigga. In the set, I'm going to fight the toughest nigga. That way, I'm going to go at your strength. If I go at your strength, you'll realize you're not strong at all. And then we could have a real, you know, a solution. You know, amicable solution could come around. You got to really get at people's strength. Like, don't go into that weakness shit is for the birds. You know, show them that their strongest place ain't really that strong and niggas will get the point.
Let me ask you this, bro. During the Death Row hype, they obviously had beef with a lot of people. Do you think there was, you being a street dude out here at that time, and I hear a lot of people say this, do you think they actually ran the streets or did they just run the rap industry?
I mean, I don't think they was trying to run the streets. I think everybody had respect for that type of money and success from the community. They didn't have to use physical force. But I mean, obviously, you hear all the stories of issues they had where they was in the nigger sense and they had issues and they had to resolve a lot of things in different ways. You know what I mean? But even in that situation, to me, if you want to show strength, the first thing you do is fight Suge Knight. That's showing strength. And that's, to me, where I gave a lot of the Long Beach dudes credit. Hey, like, nigga, we going to squabble whoever you think is the strongest person here. You know what I mean? That way, we can really have a... Because that's the thing about street life or gangbanging. It's all based off the premises of people showing strength. So once you show somebody their strongest place ain't that strong, most of the time you could come to, you know, fair resolutions. Until you show somebody their strongest place ain't that strong, they're going to always feel like they're going to have an advantage. And a lot of the stuff they're going to do is going to be disingenuous. You know what I'm saying? They're going to always feel like they have the advantage. So there is no real reason for them to meet you at a prime resolution place. You know, that makes sense. They'll be like, oh, we doing you a favor. Let's knock away the favor right now. Nigga, your strongest shit ain't strong enough. So even in this situation, right, like, I did look at J. Cole like a little bit weird, like where it's like, bro, why would you apologize? But maybe he looking like, yo, this shit could get funky. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Now that we discussed.
I believe he's on tour with like Q right now or some shit like that. So ain't no telling the conversations that could have been had, you know, and what could have been pieced out and behind closed doors.
I mean, even then he could say it that way. Hey, I sat down with some of my brothers from TDE, but I think honestly, the more I think about it, now that we've discussed all of these diss records and places that he might be right. Like if he's not into the rah-rah shit and the squabble game and wanting to have to shoot niggas, like a lot of these diss records have led to people being in fights and people being hurt. You know what I'm saying? So it may not be the rappers being in fights all the time, you know, but somebody else is getting hurt and maybe he don't want nobody around him to get hurt. I think I actually owe J. Cole a fucking apology.
Well, once you become, gee, I'm going to tell you like this.
So now you're apologizing?
No, I said I owe him an apology. See, now that I owe him, he would never be broke. Now, I'm not going to apologize. See, I'm not J. Cole. I'm saying... I may have to respect. I may
now
have
that
to
you
respect.
Owe him, he'll never be yeah. broke.
You'll never be broke. You're a debt.
I want to say something real quick. In this kind of series, I think once you get past the age of 20, or maybe even 19, getting into a fight is a serious thing once you become a grown man. Because when you physically want to say, okay, I'm going to put my hands on this person, somebody could possibly die. Because me as a 50-some-odd-year-old man, I'm just not going to allow somebody just to put their hands on me and just to whoop my ass. And I'm going to be worried about that if I do, let's say I come out victorious. Now I got to worry about you potentially walking up on me and I might be with my wife or my kids or maybe somewhere to where I might be with my mom in the street somewhere because all is fair in love and war. So I'm going to try to dismantle, maim, kill, and destroy anything that's a threat like that. So it can get ugly. It can get dangerous. And I think once you get to playing with people on a personal level, man, you don't know what the fuck somebody going through. You might fuck around and be the and take the brunt of all their frustration. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot that can happen, dog.
I don't know.
So maybe
I'm with Steel, but no, like, yeah, you can still get a squabble with me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't above a squabble.
But that's the thing.
In the world now.
You're a unique case. It's like, but you have to know the other person. Like I look at every fight like this, just in general. My blanket rule is, if you want to do this, here are the rules. Winner goes to jail, loser goes to the hospital. But you have to know who the other person is. It's almost like give and take. If the other person is not the kind of guy to call the police, he's probably the kind of guy who might shoot you.
Yeah, but that's just going to get him shot. Shit. Now you're going to get your ass whooped and shot.
If you shoot him first.
Well, I mean, that's kind of just how it goes. Like, you can't live your life in this level of fear about going to jail. Or I know this is kind of the American psychology of existing, this fear of death and going to jail, right? Don't get me wrong. I don't want to go to jail. I am not scared to go to jail.
I'm just saying it has to be important.
Well, if you're trying to shoot me, that's worth going to jail.
Well, that is important.
Well, you know what? That is important. I don't even think it's about being afraid of going to jail or nothing like that. Like, that would be the last thought on my mind, you know, getting into a fight with somebody. I'm just saying shit can go either way. It could be a motherfucker take me off this planet. You feel what I'm saying? You don't never know what somebody got going on, what's on their mind.
Fuck they mind.
Yeah. He's so gonna blow that mind just, right out.
So you just think it's just safe that all the grown folks out here fighting niggas in their 30s, 40s, and some cases 50s is out here just scrapping.
Listen, I would hope as an adult, your intellect has came to a place where you can resolve situations through conversation. But still, some people need their motherfucking ass whoop or the attempt of it. You have to defend somebody. Like, you may have to demand, listen. This is what makes hip hop different than everything else. Like, to Pete, it might be like a nigga moment where he's like, I'm white. I'm going to walk away from this nigga moment. Like Drake doesn't have to participate because it's like he don't carry the ego and the pride. Now, it depends on where that's valued at. Because at the end of the day, man, you could get punked and live tomorrow. And long as you okay with it, it don't matter. Somebody could call you a bitch still in front of your wife and you don't have to, as long as you don't care and long as she not tripping, y'all could just live y'all days out. But the problem is, because of where you come from, where she come from, if somebody mark your ass out, it's going to be hard for you to get respect in your own house, right? And that's how it is with these records, right? It's, if somebody marks you out, it's going to be hard for you to get respect. Like, you're going to be, you have to be okay with being, you know, burdened with criticism and jokes. And I don't know if that's normal from where we come from. We already had a hard-ass life, so we don't really play like that. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying you should do the next thing to put you in jail, but if it means protecting your life, shit, okay, whatever it got to be to protect your life. But
life and quality of life.
Yeah, but if somebody just trying to squabble you up, you know what I mean? Or somebody, like, so you mean to tell me still, if you somewhere with Maria, right? And somebody be like, yeah, bitch ass nigga, move out the way. You're going to be like, well, you know what? I'm not going to be squabbling this nigga. I'm 52. I'm not squabbling him.
We definitely go after, he might have to smell my cologne. You know, he called me a bitch ass nigga, but.
What if he called you a couple bitches? And then he'd look at your old lady and be like, yeah, bitch, you heard what I said to him? You're going to be like, well, you know what? I'm not going to fight him.
He would more than likely be shot.
See, that's dumb. Now you're finna go to jail for shooting somebody.
Listen, but I'm just saying that's what all of that will result in, because I would tussle with him, but then what I would do, CG, I don't have that like pride and that hubris. I address situations and handle them accordingly. If I'm with my wife, right, and it's just me and her, and I see it's Tim, and it depends.
It's just him.
If it's just him, we go tussle. But if I look at him and I see five niggas standing over here, then it's a couple of niggas over here I ain't aware of, dog, I might just get in my car and roll on out and handle this nigga another day.
I understand.
It depends on what he is. Now, if it's just him.
Yeah, he just talked to him, and he's 5'10". Bitch ass, big ass.
6'9". We go tussle because it's just him. I say, okay, this is a one-on-one situation. But if I got to worry about, if I assess the situation and I see his six niggas over here and potentially this could go down, not only do I have to worry about defending myself, I'm going to have to worry about what my wife got going on over there. Is a motherfucker go knock her out, a cold guy,
yeah, but you,
kidnap her, 20 things.
But you far off. Like, you went somewhere else.
I'm still a little shell-shocked because the little guy from Ghetto Boys knocked him out in that house that time.
Oh. See? Willie. Oh, see? Oh, rest in peace. Butch was dead.
That ain't supposed to be a story. Ain't supposed to be told all the time. Shout out to the homie Polar Bear. We kept that secret for a long time.
It went on a monster platform. I think I forgot. Did I remember that backwards? I can't remember. Did you get knocked
out?
No,
that was on the, I did talk about that on Drink Champs.
Yeah.
And it was
this is the kind of shit you can talk about on Gangsta Rap Chronicles.
Well, you know what?
Lying on Biggie's name.
We might have talked about it. Man, I'm not lying on that. That's Doggy, man. You know what? I'm going to have Doggy to defend himself on You're going to have Doggy on to defend his story, dog.
We'll do it next week in person. Because if I don't like what he's saying about Biggie, Dog going to smell my motherfucking cologne.
Oh, gee, one of the most now, dog. Because it's a
Dog pain. Is my nigga. We can, friends can fight.
See, you know what it is with G? G is a true hip hopper. He really loves and reveres these niggas. And when I tell him that some of these niggas ain't who they think they is, G gets upset and he will defend them to the death.
That's not, you're just over exaggerating. I'm saying you just went from saying Dog said his stories are exaggerated, which that's everybody's story in hip hop.
What I said was the Dog said is that Biggie wasn't no street dude.
Exactly. And then you compounded.
Because he could have been talking about some of his homies that's around him that's really putting in that work.
That would be exaggerating because he's making himself the story.
Well, Cube did the same thing. You know, most of Cube's stories is about stuff he's seen and
heard. Yes. But Cube also got on when he was a 16-year-old kid writing smash hit records for Eazy-E. Biggie was an adult. And then you compounded the shit Dog said by saying he was just sitting up in his room writing raps. That's what you said, Steel. Anyway. But back to the point, this whole thing is just becoming less eventful for me because of AI. Like, I'm still not sure. Like, it was some new shit that leaked with Drake, right? Which everybody was talking about it. I bet that shit probably AI. I didn't see it. But then now I'm worried that it's Drake record. Why hasn't Drake officially released this record? What if the record is AI?
That would be,
I tell you what,
really funny.
I tell you what, that boy Rose, Renzel, or whatever the fuck he calling himself now, he responded back like an op.
That's a good cut. And he was funny. But see, look how he's doubling down on it and then accentuating part of his records. Yeah, he officially released his. Why the fuck? What if Drake's whole shit is AI and he just like, he can't clear it because it's not him? Like, he can't use it. Why else would you release a record, blast it out? You know what I mean? Not you, but you. He is not on any of his platforms. Bro, what if that whole shit is AI? And then I heard a Kendrick joint that was dope as fuck. That was AI. I'm going to play it at the end of this podcast, right? It was AI, though.
Man, I want to hear that motherfucker now. Play it.
I'm going to put that in. I'll play it for you. Look at this AI record, bro.
That shit is crazy. You know, motherfuckers might just be kicking back and laying up with their bra and having the computer make their records for them.
But I don't think they're doing the AI. Somebody else is coming up with them. But what if that's why his shit ain't on streaming services? Just listen.
I mean, Drake claims to be Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson never painted his nails or got his nails done, did he? I mean, there's something sus about him.
Fuck dropping down for that 50, I'll give you 200. I'm too cunning, come touch Dallas City, let's see who teams want it. You really would be stupid for choosing a rock up jewelry that is foolery. LA goons ready for coonery. Nigga, these size sevens gon' be up in your ass. I'm big stepping cause I'm rapping Compton, do it with class. Ain't no gangster in my hood, rocking nails with a pass. Wanna be Yachty so bad, you're probably topping for cash. What kind of man tell another man? Don't make me chip a nail, Kendrick. I'm way bigger than you in Japan, can't you tell, Kendrick? Only thing that people wanna know is Drake a real killer. Cause so subliminal towards X don't make you real, nigga. You ain't never caught a body. Boy, you the closest thing to a porta potty. Let niggas piss on you. This industry is more than sloppy. Or these fornications, bodies that you caught with porny shot recording on somebody's watches. Since we not gonna throw out subliminals, I'll admit it. Your favorite rapper Drizzy been sleeping with Diddy. Listen, I know the tension that's risen. Y'all wonder why he got punched. He kept scraping his teeth. He was eating his dick for lunch. I got the proof on the USB. Try me if you want. Apologize like Cole. If I were you, I would stop. I'm never selling my soul. That's why I sold 200K. At least I can say I'm a man at the end of the fucking
day. You know it's OVO season and we back there. I keep a pulley on me if you wanna strike back. You know it's OVO season and we back there. We finna
bam the slide. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit's scary.
You know, I have a technical question to ask. If AI is doing that, why the fuck even make another record again, G? We should be just somewhere, just put your voice in that motherfucker and just go on vacation.
Yeah, but AI, so the way it's working, somebody else is coming up with the lyrics, rapping them, and then they're voice swapping with Kendrick's voice. So it's still some work. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, this shit is still in the joy.
We could program around that.
Like, I've heard four songs come out that were AI songs. Then I'm looking at Drake's song. It's still not official. But it's on the radio, and they say, oh, they blasting out the radio. Then why is it not available? Because if you play a song on radio, right? If you play a song on radio that's AI, it don't matter. But if you put that song on your streaming channel and it's not your song, that shit is a real different kind of lawsuit.
Yeah.
Or is it? If somebody puts shit out that AI is an impersonation of you and then you use it, who's able to sue who? That is a tremendous.
Well, it's not so much about the voice, but rather the lyric.
The lyrics,
the production and everything else. Yeah. Somebody had to make that.
But
beat,
you
right?
could sue them exactly the same way at risk of bigger damages to your own brand by impersonation.
But via, did. But
you
did.
Because who's to say Drake didn't hear that shit and say, this shit is fire?
Exactly. Exactly.
The term, you know what I'm saying?
I genuinely think he's that type of mind as a pop superstar. He's not just some rinky dink motherfucker. Cuz studies this shit. So he knows what to claim and what not to claim. I'm telling you, why is that song not on streaming services? What if he's trying to figure out who wrote the song? What if he's trying to figure out how to silence them? What if he's figuring out the paperwork? No. Only Rosé shit and then Dot shit with Future in them. That song, the Drop and Give Me 50 song, is not on any streaming service. It's not on the SoundCloud. If it wasn't about money, why it's not on the SoundCloud? You don't got to get paid from that. YouTube, you don't have to get paid from that. Like, and this is what's fucking up battle rap for me. It's like, bro, what the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you hearing these different AI songs. Oh, they're saying this is a real song. He's just saying it wasn't dope, so he don't want to claim it. Or that it's like, bro, this shit dumb.
What thing is, bro? You know what, you're right, G. And I wouldn't doubt you, but that's crazy though. No,
not on YouTube, not on SoundCloud.
He put that back to back shit out quicker than motherfucker.
And at least it was on the streaming services. It's out. Why would you not monetize your oh, well, if you're not trying to monetize it, why not put it on your SoundCloud and then have a feature where you don't get paid for it? Why would you not have it on your YouTube and turn off the monetization portion? Why would you not put it to where your fans can see you competing at the highest level? People keep making excuses, but I'm like, we're in an era where AI, you can't claim the work if you didn't write it. Let's say he puts that shit on the Spotify right now and didn't claim the work. That, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, Drake is that kind of brilliant mind or cunning mind, like you saying, if you think he's the devil, he's that type of cunning and devious mind to where it's like, you know, he would definitely, you know, let the business be the business. And he for sure would want to stop Kendrick, Future, and Metro from having a record that's 4 weeks in a row at number one. Get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this shit is getting fucking whack.
That would be one of the most interesting twists. If the public at large accepts that and receives that as his diss response and runs with it for a month or so, only to find out that it was like Joe Blow's shit through an AI, that would be the most underrated story to me in modern hip hop.
Hey man, you know what's crazy?
But because
Fiesta is saying some shit.
I seen that. I don't want to talk about that. We don't do that shit on No Ceilings. We don't do that gossip.
That's not gossip. That's something niggas say.
Yeah, we don't care what Lou talking about. Lou, my nigga. I'm not talking about Lou talking about no other nigga on this podcast. That's not what we do over here. We don't do that over here, big bro. That's that.
That's Lou, your homeboy.
It's not that. Dot is my homeboy. They both my homeboys. But that don't have nothing to do. We don't really do hot topics and shit. We don't do buzz. This ain't the shirt store. Can't buy that shirt up in here. We have intelligent conversations about whatever it is. That shit's stupid. Now, don't look at me like that, big bro. Hold that shit. Tonight you doing Gangster Chronicles. So you.
No, I'm not. I'm probably not going to talk about that. That's not interesting.
Okay, so don't bring that shit up on No Ceilings.
I thought it was an interesting take, though.
No. I'm saying, but not about this record. Not about this record. We about this record. You done fucked up the podcast. You know what? This shit over.
No, no, it ain't hold on.
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the West Coast of the USA and produced by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.